Ever feel like there's no difference between your life and a not yet believer's? From immorality to greed, Paul warns us to live distinctly as God's people. Let's consider what foolishness we might be dabbling in and seek God's direction. Welcome back to the world's biggest small group 7-day reset. I'm Pastor Chad with my friend Kim Weir, the author of Everyday God, and we are working through the book of Ephesians. And while we're working through it, we're using the tool called RAMP that stands for R, read, A, apply, M, meditate, and P for pray. So first, we just start off jumping into the text. Welcome, Kim. We're going to jump into Ephesians chapter 5. We talked about yesterday that we really transitioned in the book of Ephesians to this more practical section that started in chapter 4. And really, it goes through the next couple chapters, through chapter 5 and chapter 6. So if you are struggling to find application, let me encourage you to find that one nugget today, that one question, that one thing that maybe he's pointing out to you, and that you take that with you. I think the old saying is like, how do you eat a whale or how do you eat an elephant? You do it one bite at a time. You can't stick the whole thing in your mouth. You got to do it one bite at a time. That's the greatness of God's word. Like, there's so many riches here. There's no way you can take a bite of it all at once. You got to just take one bite at a time. Kim, as we jump into Ephesians chapter 5 and that read part of it, sometimes I feel like I do all the talking, but you're never without words. So I'm going to let you just start the talking today. What have you noticed in this read section, or what has stood out as you started chapter 5?
Well, I like to remind myself that this is one letter. The chapters, the divisions weren't in Paul's letter, and remind myself I could have gotten this in my mailbox, you know, and so to remember, like, how is this continuing to flow with what he's saying overall. And we moved into the section where he went from, here are all the riches you have, half the letter, so amazing. This is who you were. Now you're alive. This is all you've been given. Now, look, there's a way to live in light of all of that, a new lifestyle. And you pointed out there are a couple of different, Paul likes to use, you know, different analogies or metaphors to wrap things up. And it seems to me, okay, he's going to change here. Now he's going to do like a picture of a family, which we can all relate to, whether you have one or you've been in one. And he's going to say, look, there are ways to live in the kingdom of God, like you're a child, an obedient child, like you're part of a married relationship. You know, these are ways that you can live that actually are part of the lifestyle. And so he uses them both as an analogy, but then he also says, and if you happen to be in one of these relationships, this is what it should look like too. But also, it's meant to be a metaphor first and foremost. And then there's also some instruction in there. So I don't want anybody to miss that, especially when we get to that section about husbands and wives and obedient husbands and what wives, I like that, obedient husbands. Yes, obey me, husband. And what husbands and wives submitting to one another looks like.
Yeah.
You know, that can be a lot of caught up. But don't miss the fact that that is supposed to be a metaphor for Paul's continuing string here, which is, how do I live a life worthy of the calling that I have received? Mm-hmm. That's where we started this section. That's what he's continuing. And the next thing he says in that is, well, be imitators of God. Well, there's no small calling. Be imitators of God. Therefore, as dearly loved children, live a life of love, just as Christ loved us and gave his life for us, and as a fragrant aroma and a sacrifice to God. So he's going to go through a lot of little things here. And if I were an obedient, like we had a list of rules for our house. I don't know about you, Chad, but when we're raising our kid, there's some do's and don'ts, you know, hopefully a lot of do's, but there were definitely some boundaries. And an obedient child would follow the rules for the unity of the family and to express his love and respect for his parents. That's the idea. So Paul says, look, follow Christ in love, avoid immorality, don't be obscene with the way that you talk, don't deceive other people, seek God's will, use your opportunities to do good, don't get drunk, use music to encourage each other, be thankful, submit to one another. All of these are basically like, if you're using the child analogy, house rules. Am I going to be an obedient child to Daddy, Abba, Father, and live in a way that shows him respect and love? If I am, and I'm living according to my calling, then I'll be serious about these things. So as opposed to just do's and don'ts, I love that it's a picture of, this is how you show your daddy your respect and your love.
Yeah, I think it teaches us how to live in unity in community. I think also, as I was reading through it too, the one thing that I noticed is that it also sets us in contrast of not just our old way of living, but of the way of the world right now. Is there any contrast? And I'll often ask this, is there any difference between me and the way I live and the way my neighbor who doesn't follow Jesus lives? Do we do the same things, just different things on Sundays? Or is there something different about our life? Well, he brings that up in verse 6. He says, don't be fooled by those who try to excuse these sins, for the anger of God will fall upon all those who disobey him. He's calling out that there should be a contrast between your former life and the way you live now. And if you don't, there's going to be opportunity for false gods to pop up around you. There's going to be opportunity for foolishness to be lived out around you. And he really makes that comparison. You highlighted it. He starts out chapter 5, verse 1, imitate God. But then he uses these three words twice. He says it in verse 3 and then again in verse 4, immorality, impurity, and greed. Immorality, impurity, and greed. Is there a difference in your life than your Gentile neighbors? Are you still living immorally? Listen, folks, let's not pretend like this is a space between you and God, but is there immorality in your life? Maybe you're not having an affair, but there's other things you are allowing into your life, into your thought life that are very immoral. Let's think through that. Let's pray through that. Impurity. What impure things have you allowed to overcome your life? And then greed. Let me just be honest. Like, as an American, greed is all around us. Everybody wants more and bigger. I go to someone's house and I find myself on Amazon right after trying to buy the things I saw in their house. Why? Because I want things. Like, and it's not because I want greed to be better than people. I just want more things, right? We feel that in our heart. And what should separate us? What should be different about our lives that we of all people feel most blessed because of all the things we read about previously in the book of Ephesians? Yeah. So let me encourage you on both those sides that there's a set apartness and there's also a sense of be like God.
Yeah. I think we can go back to context, which might be helpful. It's great to maybe keep reminding yourself when you're going through a book. Oh yeah. Now who is this written to and what was going on there? The Ephesians, who were a Gentile community in Ephesus of believers, but they weren't just there, but there were a lot of them that were sort of like, great, I'm saved, genuine faith in Christ. And so it really doesn't matter if I participate in some of the cultural things, you know, sexual immorality through the temples, that a lot of it was part of business practices. They would eat idols. They would eat meat sacrificed to idols when they would go. A lot of the business meetings were held at temples. So like, was it okay to go to the temple of, you know, Diana Artemis and have a business meeting there? And eat meat that had been given to idols because I got to do business and I'm a believer. And, you know, and so there were all these questions swirling around, really practical questions, questions like we have. How do I live in my American culture that says all of these things are okay legally and even morally acceptable? And yet I look at God's word and there seems to be a delineation that it would not be, quote unquote, an imitator of God to behave that way. So it's no different for them than it was for us, but that's the context. How are you making decisions about how you're living now that you have a new life? Are you living worthy of it? And verse 15, he says, be very careful. Be very careful how you're living, not as unwise as wise. Make the most of your opportunities, not the least, because the days are evil. To me, that really kind of sums up a lot of what I'm feeling myself impressed on, that God is saying, are you being careful? Or are you being, the opposite of that is, are you being careless? Are you being careful? And are you clear that it matters to God how you're living? It's not a matter of once saved, always saved, and God doesn't care now. If you think that, then you're not reading the word of God. I'm not reading the word of God. So if you're involved in some things, but you're thinking because God forgives, it doesn't matter if you're participating in practices or secret or overt, either one,
Yeah.
Then you have to go back here and you have to read God's word, because remember the caution that he gave the very end, Revelation, you know, this is a church that's gonna slip and they're falling, they're not going to be careful. And so I hear him saying, Kim, be very careful how you're living. Don't be unwise, be wise.
One thing that is helpful when you read the scripture, look for the repeated words too.
Yes.
We have talked through that through the first couple chapters, but one thing that stood out to me that I hadn't really noticed before is starting in verse 15, the word don't. And then after, it's actually in verse 6, again in verse 15, in verse 17, and then 18. Verse 6, don't be fooled. Verse 15, don't live like fools. Verse 17, don't act thoughtlessly. Verse 18, don't be drunk with wine.
All of those are foolish.
Right? All of them are saying there needs to be some clarity in your living. It's not, this isn't careful. Harping on anyone who wants to have an alcoholic drink. It's saying, don't be drunk. Don't be allowing other things to take over your mind and cause you a lack of clarity and vision. Mm. Why? I think it's setting us up when we get to verse 21. I believe then, like Kim already alluded to, there's a transition again in the passage, verse 21. And further, submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. It's coming back to this theme. We've seen it from chapter one and every chapter. There's a call to unity with Jesus, a unity with God, a unity with one another as the church. And like Kim said, now he's going to lay that out in these metaphors of wives, husbands, children, slave, master. Like, how do we live this out? He's going to show us how this looks. But as we come to verse 21, the focus is going to be to submit to one another. There's some symmetry there. And there's just a way that Paul has written this that it has been so kind to help us to really see it pictured or lived out for us right there. Mm.
So many people struggle with these next verses that are, you know, wives submit to your husbands as to the Lord. Husband is the head of the wife. Goes on to say, husbands, love your wife as Christ loved the church. All of that is precursored by verse 21. So back up to verse 21. If you get all, you know, verklempt over the word submit, first of all, submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. It doesn't matter whether you're husband or wife, deacon and elder, church member and pastor. It doesn't matter. The call is the same. He submit to one another. There is a mutual submission required by the people of God to the people of God. And then he goes on to describe, you know, okay, in the context of marriage, there is a sense of order here. But here's the thing that I don't want us to miss, because we get caught up in the marriage metaphor. Go back to, or I don't want to miss, I'm speaking of me, I have to remind myself, I don't want to miss. Go back to the very first verse of this chapter. Be imitators of God. Be imitators of God by being obedient children. I just talked you through that. Be imitators of God by how you're living. Be imitators of God, what? In how you submit to authority, one to the other. How you take leadership. Be an imitator of God in how you take leadership. I need somebody to take this role and somebody to take this role so that you're both a picture of the fullness of God as you imitate that together. And we know that that's the point, because it goes on to point out that now as the church submits to Christ, so also wives to husbands, and husbands as Christ loved the church, you love her. It's this picture of imitating God, right? As Christ did this, you do that. As Christ did this, you do that. And why do we need that? Because how can we know what God is like if he doesn't show us? And he stoops down to give us these great metaphors. In the context of that, he also says, here's how relationships work in unity best.
I love that he uses everyday life to illustrate it as well. Everybody has a concept of a husband and a wife relationship. We've all been a child once. Don't tell me you haven't been a child before. You're lying. We've all been a child, no matter how old
Stop
you were.
Childish.
But, you know, he uses regular relationships, a boss in chapter 6, and it's not our normal language, but slaves and masters. And there are various degrees of what slaves look like. It wasn't all of our picture of American slaves. There were some who chose to be slaves in that time. And it was this boss relationship sometimes, or a work relationship. And how do you flesh that out? These are the common everyday life pictures that he's giving us to say, submit to one another in those times. as we kind of work through this, we hit the read. We then want to apply, and we've done a little bit of that, of what this says about God and what is God promising to us here, but also how do I change the things in my life? But we come to this, the time for meditation. And so there's apply and then meditate. As I work through these, I thought of a couple things. And number one, as I came to the application, I always ask myself, what does this teach me about God? And the little nugget that I walked away with is, God wants to protect us by warning us. He's warning us of foolishness. He's warning us of, if you're not going to submit to one another, there's going to be anarchy. There's going to be continued problems and a lack of unity. He's wanting that for us. So God wants to protect us by warning us. But then the piece that I begin to meditate on then is this question, what does foolishness look like around me? I'm not saying for anybody, I'm not pointing that out. Ask God, sit in that a minute. What does foolishness look like around me? And how maybe then do I dabble in foolishness sometimes? I'm not saying you are a fool. I'm saying sometimes we dabble in things. And like I pointed out earlier, maybe we're dabbling in immorality or impurity or in greed. Like, how are we dabbling in this? Ask the Lord, and in his kindness, he'll tell you. He will point it out to you. But sometimes we don't take the time to even ask these questions. Kim, any application or things that you were meditating on through this section?
Yeah, I just, everything came into focus for me from that, be imitators of God, you know, and so the, just that reminder, the more I know about God, the more I can imitate him. I love people who do impersonations. It's just so fun to watch a comedian do an impersonation of somebody. And you're like, oh my God, look at that manner. How did they get that mannerism so perfect? How did they get the inflection of their voice? You know, it isn't about the physical appearance. It's about they get the essence of the person. And there's some great, I mean, it's incredible when you see somebody nail it, right? And all of the, I want to be an imitator of God. I want to nail it. I want the universe to know his glory because I have nailed being an imitator of God in Christ. And how can I do that? Well, Paul's given us a lot of sort of, here's a great starting place, right? But all of that only comes as I know God. I have to study him the way somebody would study a victim to impersonate them, right? I got to know the nuances of who he is, how he acts, why he does what he does. And the scriptures full of it, right? They've told us a lot of the whys. But the more I am a student of God himself and his son, Jesus Christ, the more I can be an imitator, the more I can be careful about how I'm living, the more I can walk in a manner worthy of my calling. And so that's what I want to do. I want to be an imitator, but that means I need to study God more. I need to make sure I'm putting time for his word in my life.
Well, we've been working through Ephesians chapter 5, and let me just encourage you, if you're listening along with us, if you're doing this World's Biggest Small Group, and you're on our website, go to the bottom and write in the comments what God is working out in your life. Maybe it's something Kim and I didn't talk about, or something we've never even seen in the text. I'd sure love to be able to see that and to interact with that, and so do others. We learn from each other, and that's one of the beauties of the church. There's so many different types of people, different types of personalities, and we learn from one another. And that's what we want to do through this World's Biggest Small Group. As well as, if you have a prayer request, share those prayer requests on our prayer wall. And let me encourage you to continue on. We have one more day in our 7-day reset. On day 7, we're going to be in Ephesians chapter 6. So check back tomorrow for our final episode. Thank you and God bless. We hope this has been a transformative journey. Don't miss out on more opportunities like this to rekindle your faith and find inspiration in the World's Biggest Small Group's latest study. Text the word GROW, G-R-O-W, to 67101 to find out more.